Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Hey everyone, welcome to Elijah Streams. Happy Tuesday. It's February 17th, 2026. I'm Kelsey O'Malley, filling in for Steve Schultz. I first have to say happy birthday to my oldest, Michael. He turns 13 today. We celebrated yesterday because it was President's Day and the kids had off school. So I made his favorite dinner. We had ice cream cake. He got to open all his gifts and he loves Legos. And he has such, I really believe it's a gift from God because he can build a 1,000+ set of Legos like an hour later. He's like, Mom, I'm done. I'm like, how did you build that whole museum that quickly? I'd still be, you know, on the first, second page. So happy birthday to you, Michael. We love you so very much. And I am thrilled to be hosting Pastor Kent Christmas on the show today because he has such an encouraging word for us as the body of Christ for this year that we're in right now. You are definitely going to leave encouraged today. But before he comes on the show to join me, here is one of our water well videos showing what a blessing you are to so many families across Uganda.
Some kids wake under clean sheets, reach for cereal, but others open their eyes to dust. Hunger hits first, then the long walk begins. The only water, brown, dirty, shared with animals. They stretch every resource. They endure more than most, but still, it's not quite enough. Without clean water, you can't stay healthy. You can't grow. You can't keep moving forward. They drink what makes them sick, because thirst hurts worse than fear. This isn't history, it's now. Their eyes search the road, waiting for someone to come, waiting for someone to say yes. Will you be that someone? Donate online at elijahstreams.com/donate or mail a check today, Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
I want to say that there's been over 700 wells that you have helped us dig here at Elijah Streams, which is absolutely so impactful because all the families within that village benefit from that well. So you are absolutely changing lives and blessing so many people through this water well program. And we're believing God for way more than 700 more. So many people can hear the gospel, have clean water, and families can just be changed through that. Please go online to elijahstreams.com/donate to help us today. And thank you for each and every one of you who have partnered with us and helped us. You are making huge impacts. May the Lord bless you and your family. Well, my guest today is the founder and pastor of Regeneration Nashville and the leader of Regeneration Nation, which focuses on prayer, prophetic encouragement, community impact. He's an author. He's been in ministry for over 50 years. That's amazing. Please help me welcome my guest today, Pastor Kent Christmas. Pastor Kent, thank you for taking time today to join me on the show and share all that God's really placed on your heart, especially for this year.
Well, I always enjoy being on Elijah Streams. Thank you for the invitation.
You know, when I watch you prophesy, I'll see clips of you prophesying, and I'll watch a Sunday service when towards the end you'll get a word from the Lord and the zeal and passion that you have for God. Now, you've been in ministry 50 years, and you have a zeal that was like you just encountered the Holy Spirit yesterday, and he freshly baptized you. And how have you always had this incredible zeal for God over the last 50 years, or how do you sustain that? Because it's so beautiful to see.
I guess I have. You know, I received the Holy Ghost when I was 9, and started preaching when I was 17. So this is my, June will be my 55th year of preaching. And most of that, I would say probably 48 years of those, I really never saw any great success. But I think in all of those lean times, as a very, very young man, I fell in love. With the presence of the Lord. And I discovered prayer at an early age, and I literally built my life around prayer. And to this day, I still try to spend at least an hour a day in prayer, because I realized as a young man that even though I could have talent or giftings or whatever, which I don't have a lot of that, but it is the anointing that makes the difference. And mm-hmm. so I found that through prayer, that anointing has to be renewed. It over time, it breaks down, it gets stale, it gets rancid. Even in the Old Testament, they had to continue with the apothecary. And even Psalmist David talked about, Lord, fresh anointing. And so I think my passion comes from God continually giving me something fresh in the spirit. And with that, you know, and you stay close to the fire, it keeps you from burnout. And so, you know, I actually tried to change my style, because I liked a lot of the ministers that I liked were more refined, or they were teachers. And I tried to adapt to that. And then as soon as I would begin to feel the Spirit of the Lord come on me and preach, and my own style came out. So finally I just said, well, this is who I am, and I'll go with it. And so I realized that you can retire from a profession, but you can't retire from a calling. Mm-hmm.
That's so impactful. I mean, it's so true, because I'm sure as you spend time with the Lord each day and he fills you up, it's just, you can't probably wait to share and preach the message he's given you, because it's like, it's from the Lord. It's so powerful. It's not just a dead word. It's alive. It's living.
Well, you know, there's a verse that says that the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. And, you know, there's a lot of websites that pastors can go to, and, you know, you can, for a certain amount of money, you can buy your messages. But I never have been able to preach something that wasn't in my spirit. And, you know, I never, ever moved prophetically till I went through a great breaking in my life. And I think I was 35 years old before I ever began to move in a prophetic office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was probably 15 plus years just as a pastor before it ever happened. And when it happened to me, I didn't even know what it was. It was almost kind of like I was standing off the side watching myself. And so, you know, I'm a strong advocate of depending on the Holy Ghost to, you know, speak through us.
Can you share a little bit more about what happened to you when you were 35, how that changed?
I can. I was married in my 13th year of marriage, had an 8-year-old son, and was pastoring. And my first wife, who I am friends with, you know, she fell into a trap and was, you know, stepped outside of our marriage. And I didn't know it for a long time. And when it finally all came to light, you know, I resigned my church. I wasn't emotionally able to pastor. And I don't know, God just, he used that to really break me. And I went through a year where I didn't do any, I wound up homeless, actually, in Nashville.
Oh my goodness.
And slept in my car and hit rock bottom. But I never ever quit serving the Lord, and slept on people's floors in their houses, and finally got a job for $7 an hour. And And out of that, I don't know, my relationship with God changed, went much deeper. And the Lord began to, you know, just heal me. And the very first time I stepped back into the pulpit was the very first time I ever prophesied in my life. And I think sometimes when God is birthing something in you that you've not walked in before, that he will empty you out, and that's very painful. I never got mad at God, never quit praying. He was really, I mean, I got really low. I had a gun to my head at one time.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, the Lord sustained me and put me back together. And eventually, you know, God gave me the wife that I have now. We're getting ready to celebrate 39 years of marriage.
Wow. And, congratulations.
Yeah, have two more children. I did 4 years ago this month, lose my oldest son. He died of a brain aneurysm at 43. And so that was a difficult thing to walk through. Mm. But I read the stories of great men and women down through the centuries and see the price they paid and what they went through. And what we think is tough really pales in comparison to the sacrifices that these people made. And so when God really breaks you, one of the things that happens is he takes ambition out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not anymore trying to advance yourself or build your own kingdom. And I fell in love with the Lord in a deeper way and realized I'm here for his purpose and his kingdom. And so we really preach that here at this church, that we're not building a kingdom. We're not trying to create numbers. We're trying to create a place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable. You know, when you read the scriptures, the Bible says that right now, Jesus is sitting in heaven on the right hand of the Father. And the only part of God that's in the earth is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, you know, I'm going away, but the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit in my name. And so I really put a lot of demand on the Holy Spirit and to do what he wants to do through our church, and that he would feel comfortable. I never want to do anything that would make the Holy Spirit grieved or to be quenched. And so these are good days. These are really good days for God's people.
I know in your word that we're gonna play a clip in just a moment of you prophesying at a prayer meeting. And within that clip, you talk about how God broken people that who've been through brokenness, that God will use them powerfully. So before we get into that, because it so correlates with everything you just shared. So can we play that clip quickly, and then we'll come right back and have Pastor Kent share what God's saying for this year.
For when my glory comes and the world begins to come to the church, they are not coming to see a man, but they're coming to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as I told Moses to tell my people, put the staff in your hand and the shoes on your feet, because you're getting ready to leave your slavery, and I'm going to bring you to a land that I promised you 400 and some years before. Know this, saith God, get ready, put your shoes on your feet. How beautiful are the feet of those whose feet are shod with the preparation, the gospel of peace. It's going to astound you. I'm going to do things that have not been written in books. I'm going to do things that no man thought. And God said, I'm going to pull out men and women that the world passed by, that were rejected, that were mocked and made fun of. And God said, the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. For I am a God. Know this little as much when I am in it. I can take two loaves and five fishes and feed 5,000. I can take a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal and turn it into a feast for the last 3,000 or 300 years. I can take men that nobody's ever thought of and raise them up. And the voice of the Lord is going to come forth. And once more saith God, not only am I going to shake the earth, but I am going to shake the heavens. And these demonic spirits that have reigned over this earth, that have mocked my name, put my word down, and made fun of who my people are, I'm going to shame them. I'm going to embarrass them. I'm going to render them powerless. And I'm going to take the same power that's in heaven, and I'm going to put it in the house of the Lord. So God says, know this, the glory, what you're feeling is the glory that is on its way. Shout it to the Lord. It's the sound of faith and God. For my word shall not return unto me voice. I cannot lie, saying God, I'm going to astound you. I'm going to amaze you. I'm going to render you speechless as you begin to behold the magnificence of the power and of the glory of God. I have not forgotten this house. I have taken you through tough times. But know this, because you stood and you were faithful, I'm going to make you the head of this city and not the tail. No, even though they come from the nations and trickle in, they're going to come by the thousands to stand in the presence of the Almighty God. So this day, I want you to know, I'm not going to have the sick, the afflicted, the depressed, and the possessed, but I'm going to have a people that are liberty, that are free, that are full of the power of God. He who hopeth in me shall not be ashamed, and I will perform my word this day, saith the Lord. It's not 5 months from now, it's not 3 months from now, but God said, yea, it is nigh unto thy dwelling. Come into the house with a spirit of expectation, because 2026 is going to be a year of the open heaven, saith God. Listen, let's get a hold of the word of the Lord today. Come on, let's press in. Let's touch heaven by the Spirit of God.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about. When God comes on somebody, it's just the anointing, or you know, the glory that just comes when you hear a word and it just registers in your spirit. Like all you can say is amen. Yes, Lord, amen. And I think everyone in the audience was, you know, just the same. It's something about when the Holy Spirit is speaking, it hits you, right? It hits you right in the spirit. So tell us a little bit more about what you really know and feel that God is going to come and do this year, specifically within the church.
Well, that was just a Saturday morning prayer meeting. We just invited those of the church who wanted to come and pray on a Saturday morning, 9:30. And this year we've really had a new level of the presence of God in our church. And I actually, when I came that morning, I didn't have anything, and in the middle of prayer, that just began to come on me.
Wow.
So, you know, God is very spontaneous. But one of the things, whenever the devil does something, you know, even the law of physics, they say with every action, there's a reaction. And whenever the devil does something to try to stop God, God will respond to that. And in 2020, we saw a global effort by the enemy to try to shut not just churches down, but all over the earth. We watched mankind, you know, just being decimated by the coronavirus, and there was so much suffering in the earth because of that. Mm-hmm. And it was a global effort. And I think that what we're beginning to see now is God is going to respond to that. And I believe we're getting ready to see not just a, you know, we've seen isolated moves of the Lord, whether it was in Brownsville Revival or in Toronto, Kansas, or Canada, different places over time. But I think for the first time since Azusa Street, I did some study on Azusa Street. And when you study it, it will say this by historians, there have been some isolated moves of the Holy Spirit down through the centuries, you know, whether it's the 15th century, the 17th century, but the move of God in Los Angeles and Azusa Street, they said this about it. It was the first global outpouring of God since the book of Acts. It hit the entire earth.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
I think that we're getting ready to see another global, not just the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, as the waters cover the sea, so shall the knowledge of the Lord cover the earth. And there are times when God does something that affects the entire earth. He did it in Noah's time. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we're going to see God do some things that we've probably not seen since the birth of the church in the,
wow,
the book of Acts. And I also believe that God has had one of his delays is that he has been investing in some men and women and taking them through a process that when he releases his spirit, because with that move of God that we're going to see, I believe it will be earmarked by the presence of the Lord. But I also know this, that when that happens, that we're going to see miracles and finance is going to be released. You know, it's been a struggle. I've talked with Steve about, you know, the vision of Elijah's dream and, you know, the vision of the wells is incredible that Elijah's dreams has. But so many ministries that I'm familiar with that are godly and clean, if you would ask them, what's your greatest need? They would say finance.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that great finance is going to be released. And so with that, unless a person has been taken through a great process to where self has been taken out of them and ambition, we've seen it over the last several years. We've seen some really famous people in the church, you know, shipwreck. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a side note here just real quick. When Adam was created, the Bible said he was made in the image and the likeness of God. And then when you read his story, I mean, his life, he shipwrecks. He has a horrible ending, and you think, how could someone who walked with God, was in the image and the likeness of God, how could he have such a horrible ending? And I was in prayer the other day, and the scripture came to me that said, Jesus, whom the scripture says is the last Adam, it said he learned obedience by the things that he suffered.
Mm.
It might be the reason the first Adam failed was that he never suffered.
Wow. Wow.
And when the last Adam came, even though he was God in flesh, he was limited to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the way he learned obedience was in his suffering. So I think that God has taken a tremendous amount of men and women that love him and that really have not yet been used by him the way they want. And he's had them in the process of bringing them to a place to where they no longer are seeking self-promotion. Instead of using God to build their kingdom, they reached a place where they say, God, you used me to build yours. And that when the miracles begin to happen and the crowds begin to come and the money is not an issue, that we're not sidetracked by that because that stuff has died at the cross.
Yes.
And we're going to see God begin to raise up men and women that are going to be used in a powerful way. I believe that the greatest move of God since the book of Acts, we're getting ready to see in the next few years.
Hallelujah. That's so beautiful too, what you shared about how the Bible says he learned obedience in suffering, because no one wants to hear that. When you're going through something hard, it's so hard to hear that. But then once God walks you through it, you can see what he was doing, what he was preparing you for. And Pastor Kent, for people who are in that place with the Lord, how do they know it's time for the next step? Or when God released you, how did you know this is the time where God's going to use me? How are you aware of that?
That's a great question. And I didn't, at least for me personally. You know, I had stopped ministering and I just got a job. I went back to being a pipe fitter that I had done early on in my life. I worked in a shipyard several years as a pipe fitter. And I was attending a Pentecostal church, and they had about 300 people, and become friends with the pastor, and he knew I used to pastor and stuff. And he came to me few days before that Sunday, he said, Brother Ken, he said, I want you to preach Sunday night. Well, I hadn't preached in a really, really long time. And I don't know why I said yes, but I did. And
we're glad you did.
Yeah. So my wife and I, we had just got married, and we're on the way to the church that night. She said, well, what are you going to preach on? I said, I don't have anything. And she said, well, you know, I'm sure God will give you something. And so we're in the service, and she said, you got anything? And I said, I don't have nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was sitting there, and I thought, well, maybe I could just come up with one of my old messages that I can remember. And I just, that was just a dud in me. And he said, now we're going to have Brother Kent come preach. And I walked up on the platform, and when I stepped on the platform, the spirit of prophecy came on me. I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen it, never been raised in it, never been exposed to it. Wow. And the spirit of the prophecy came on me, and they said I prophesied for about 45 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. And
that was the first time that ever happened. Well, I knew then that God was doing something.
Yes.
And then God began to just, you know, from time to time, he would give me prophetic messages. Now, I would say this, I never left preaching. I always go to the pulpit to preach, not to prophesy. I think that we really get in trouble when we try every service to move in a certain way. And so,
it's,
you
really
know,
good.
There's nothing greater than the preached word of the Lord. But there, God will, most of the time, he'll do it unannounced, you know, very seldom. When I did the return in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
they told me, you know, they went and got me. They moved you from stages. I went from the tent to a side place, and then they brought me on a platform, and then a person came and got me and took me over to the side, and he said, you're up next. And I'm standing there, and I had nothing. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, this is going to either be really good or really bad. And when I went to that podium and I put my hand in that podium, that's when God just began to speak through me. And, you know, when a lot of times when you do something that turns out to be great, you don't know it's great when you're doing it.
Mm.
I think God does it that way sometimes so that we don't become lifted up in pride.
Yeah.
And, you know, God's a very spontaneous God. Now, you know, it can be different for other people. You know, generally, the way you know that it's time is God begins to open a door.
Mm.
You know, for me, the return, when I was invited, I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to that, you know, because I'd done a couple of things, and it seemed like it was just symbolism without substance. You know, let's just get a bunch of well-known people, and it was just dead as a doornail. I said, I don't want to do that. And thank God for a wife that heard from the Lord. And she said, I feel like you're supposed to go. And, you know, it was a turning point for us in our lives. But I would encourage people, until God opens the door, here's what I learned, that my relationship on a personal level was much more important than God using me and my gift. And the Lord waited until he was enough for me that I could be happy without having a big church or being well known or writing a book. I'm thankful for all those things, but I was happy before I had that, because I found a place where the Lord was enough. And generally, God will keep a person that he has his hand on in a place of anonymity and perhaps not great success until they fall in love with him to a point that whether God ever does the other, he's still enough.
Yes. Yes, that's so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. You're speaking to every single one of us right now, because it is, I mean, just the desire for Jesus. I mean, when you hear someone talk about how they love the Lord and their relationship with the Lord, and it makes you desire for that as well. Like, he is my number one. He is my focus. It gets our focus back on the most important thing, right, which is the Lord.
It is. And, you know, we have to remember that eternity, it won't be about us operating in a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It will be about us enjoying the relationship between us and our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of pressure in this age for success and all of those things. But except the Lord build the house.
Yes.
You know, they that labor, you know, they do it in vain. And I really think that probably God is not interested in how many people you have in the pew, or how many people come to your concert, or how many people read your book, as much as he is, how many people did you prepare that they can make the transition from here to eternity and be with the presence of God.
Yes. Pastor Kent, were there ever times where you felt like God was silent in your walk with him? And how do we respond when we are seeking the Lord and spending time with him, but we feel like he's more silent than normal?
Yeah. I had one segment of time in my life several years ago, I went for a year that I never really heard from the Lord. You know, I really couldn't feel God. You know, I still prayed and read my Bible and stuff, but it was just like, man, God, where are you? And so, you know, you mentioned that I preached a message recently on when God is silent. And I really felt like it had prophetic overtones to it. And We've gone through a season where in 2019, before the coronavirus really hit and we had this shutdown around the world, there were some prophetic voices that God, you know, began to speak prophetically about some things to come. And then during that time, in the 2016 election, there was some, you know, prophecy. And then especially, you know, in 2020, dealing with the election thing, we heard the prophetic voice of God. And then probably the next couple of years, there was a lot of emphasis in the church in the United States, especially with prophets. And, you know, thank God for prophets. And generally, you know, they prepare the way for what God is. The Bible said of John the Baptist, he was preparing the hearts of the people for the coming of Christ. And now it seems like, and I'm experiencing this to some degree, it seems like prophetically God has become silent. We really can't think of anybody that we want to turn, that you're going to turn the television on Sunday morning that really has an insight to what God's doing that nobody else does. I don't think anybody right now really knows what God's up to. And I think part of that is because God is silent. So there's a pattern that I found in the scriptures. God just began to just kind of open my eyes to it. When God started creation in Genesis 1, it says, you know, that darkness is on the face of the deep. I mean, the earth is just messed up. You know, I do believe there's a gap theory. I don't believe that God created the earth without form and darkness, and which means death and sorrow and destruction and misery. God doesn't create that kind of stuff. So obviously something happened that messed the earth up. And so you got all this chaos and this darkness. And then the Bible says that before God ever spoke, it says the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. It wasn't until God moved in the darkness. See, a lot of times we think because God is silent, then God isn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. I am finding that when God is silent, probably is when he's doing his most profound things.
Come on.
And it says when God was silent, the Spirit moved. And then the next thing it says, and God said.
Yes.
And when God began to speak, that's when your natural eye could see what God was already doing. The Holy Spirit was hovering and brooding over the earth, even though it couldn't be seen. Mm-hmm. So in that season before God ever spoke, he was silent, but it was in the silence that God was doing his preparation and his great work. Now, if you fast forward to the book of Acts, now God is going to do creation again. Mm-hmm. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. So what's he going to do? He is going to birth a new creation. He's going to birth the church. 40 days after resurrection, Jesus leaves. And here's disciples are standing there and they're looking up into the heavens, you know, and they got to be just devastated because they've never survived on their own. Yeah. All the miracles, the power they did, the Bible said they did it because God delegated that to them, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them. Mm-hmm. All right. So God, Jesus leaves, and the last thing he says to him is, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry until I come back. Mm-hmm. He said, because the Father's getting ready to send something. Yes. I think those 10 days that they were in the upper room, we all know this, God was silent.
Yes.
There's no recording of anybody standing up saying, yea, thus saith the Lord, in 3 more days it's going to be great, this is what I'm going to do. They don't know what God's going to do. Mm-hmm. All they know is he said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and they don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
And it's on the 10th day. The Bible says that suddenly, out of that silence, what happens? There comes a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and they all begin to speak with other tongues. This was global, because the scripture says, and there were men from every nation under heaven.
Yes.
There to so hear. Good. All right. So you can see how God's global in Genesis 1. He's global in Acts 2.
Yes.
And now we're getting ready. We're in a season of silence. And for all of us that love God, and we're not trying to use the Lord to pad our pocketbooks or make our resume look great. And we're just saying, Lord, you know I love you. And we know when there's something in us that can help the kingdom. We can feel it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and the most, I remember as a young man, I would sit in church and I would feel such an anointing and to preach, and somebody be up there speaking, and it was dead as a doornail, and it was literally painful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I finally told the Lord, I said, you're either going to have to give me a door to preach, or I need you to take this away from me because I can't take it. Mm. It's too painful.
Yeah.
And I think, Kelsey, what we're getting ready to see is we're in the seasons of silence right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really saying what God's getting ready to do, other than maybe to the general description of what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
That suddenly, for all of us, I'm telling you, there's a suddenly coming to men and women of God. And God's going to say, all the trials that I took you through and all the suffering that you've gone through and all the pain that you've endured and the rejection and the loss for my name's sake, now you watch, because it's going to pay off. I think we're getting ready to see a suddenly from heaven. And the scripture says that suddenly there was a sound from heaven. And then what happens? God begins to speak. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That was God speaking. So this is where I believe that we are. We're in a transition right now of silence. Really, if we understand when God is silent, right now, we don't know it, but God is orchestrating. He's laying the groundwork. He's doing things we have no idea about. He's preparing things for us that we haven't even comprehended. He's at work. We just can't see it, and he's not telling us.
Yeah. Well, I think just you sharing that brings so much comfort to so many people, because you have, you know, it's that feeling like you talked about. You have this feeling or this knowing, but yet you don't fully understand the full picture, you know, but you do know that God is up to something. Lord, I think sometimes I wish I could know it all, Lord. Like, you could show me this and what's coming and what's this for my house and all that. And I think the Lord's like, well, you'd need no faith for that. If I just showed you everything all the way to the end with your life, Kelsey, you need no faith to trust in me for anything. Because
that's the key, you know, we live by faith. And that's why the Lord won't let us see hell. Because if we saw how bad it was, then we'd serve God. And he won't let us see heaven, because if we saw how great it was, that'd be our impetus for doing it. And the Lord said, I want you to do it because you love me.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. Can you talk real quick about the glory of God too, because I know you shared on that a little bit in the prophetic word in the video about the glory of the Lord coming and how his glory differs from the anointing. Because are they different?
Yeah, I think they are. I think anointing is what God puts on men's talents and giftings. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, obviously we prepare ourselves, but God gives us gifts. You know, I say, mm-hmm. my daughter can sing the paint off the walls. And I mean, everybody says that about their child, but trust me, she's unusual. I don't have that gift.
Yeah.
All right. And we know that, you know, I've heard secular singers that have incredible voices, but they're not anointed. Mm-hmm. But when you hear somebody whose gift is anointed, it goes from your emotions into your spirit. All right. Yeah. So I think that's what anointing is. And anointing, the Bible says, only the anointing breaks the yoke. And so the anointing is simply where the Holy Spirit moves through you and does it. And it's in unity with the gifts and the talents that you have.
Okay.
The glory is something totally different.
Okay.
Because the Bible says that when the temple was dedicated, when Solomon dedicated the very first temple after the tabernacle, which was mobile, mm-hmm. you got this permanent temple. It says that when they dedicated it to the Lord, the glory came. And I said, when the glory came, it was so powerful that the priest who normally operated in the church mm-hmm. couldn't even minister because of the glory.
Wow.
I think the glory of God that's coming is going to transcend. Mm. And I believe even the way we have church is going to change. I think that, you know, right now, at least in our church, you know, we're pretty much a parachurch. We start off with praise and worship, and you know, we do the offering, the announcements, and maybe special singing, and then I preach, and we have an altar call, and we kind of know how we're going to do it, and you know, we're hoping God will show up.
Yeah.
But I think that what we're getting ready to see is going to move outside the walls of the church, for starters.
Amen.
And the glory of God is going to settle down, and men and women that don't know the Lord, have never felt God, they're just going to be drawn. I think it's going to settle in homes. Yes. I think that it's going to, several years ago, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, because the enemy has come after the children of this nation and tried to indoctrinate them in the schools and in the colleges, the Lord said, I'm going to move in such a way that the Spirit of God is going to manifest itself in classrooms, and little children in secular schools are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And in colleges, and this was several years ago, he said, and in colleges, I'm going to invade colleges, and the glory of God is going to begin to come. We're beginning to see now a change. You know,
yes.
Asbury, we saw it there, but I think mm-hmm. even more than that, you may not know it, but Yale and Harvard, and there's a couple of more, all of those started out as Bible schools.
I did not know that.
They were all Bible schools. Mm-hmm. And over time, secular humanism and tenured professors who were atheists and whatnot, you know, began to take the reins. But I think that God is going to invade these secular schools with the glory of God that mm. we can't do. I don't think we can sing it in. I don't think we can preach it in. I believe those are wonderful tools, but I believe God's game is a step farther than that. Mm. And we're going to see an outpouring of the presence of God to where church doors won't be shut.
Yes.
That, I remember talking to, I had John Kilpatrick at my church, I don't know, a couple of years ago at one of our conferences, and I was talking about the move of God in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And I have a pastor on staff here with me. And he told me, he said, what John said was right. He said, at 2:00 in the morning, and I've preached in this building, it's got a lot of huge amount of room. At 2:00 in the morning, he said, the building was jammed mm-hmm. and there was no worship going on, no preaching, and people were just sitting under the heavy presence of God at 2:00 in the morning.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
This, I believe mm-hmm. that we're even going to go past that.
Yeah, amen.
Because I think the Lord is going to have one great final harvest all over the earth.
Yes.
And this is why he said, you know, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. He said, pray. He never said pray for the harvest. Mm-hmm. He said pray for the laborers. Mm. And I think it's because there's been such an attack on godly men and women that want to build the kingdom, try to, you know, discourage them and make them give up.
Yeah.
You know, I would just say this to God's people listening today. Don't ever give up. If you have a burning in your spirit and you know that you're where you ought to be with God, God will use you.
Would you just pray for us right now, Pastor Kent?
Amen. Lord, I just thank you. God, Lord, even right now, we feel, God, I feel the mandate of the Lord. Hallelujah. And God, I ask you today, Lord, just take the words that are spoken and Lord, put them like a fire in the bones of thy people that are hearing today. We would be like Jeremiah. It is a fire shut up within my bones. And God, for all of these men and women that have been in the shadows, Lord, perhaps have tasted in past of success, but wonder, Lord, what is going on with me? I pray, Lord, the spirit of encouragement, even more than that, God, I ask you to anoint their eyes in the spirit. Lord, that over even in these next few hours and as they go to bed tonight, God, begin to speak to them. Open their eyes, open their understanding. God, put an excitement in their spirit that, Lord, you have not left them. God, that you've not forsaken them, but Lord, that you have saved all of us for the greatest global move of God that we have ever seen in our lifetime or in even centuries past. And God, I pray over Elijah's dreams. Lord, I pray, hallelujah, over every man and woman there. May the Spirit of God be your portion. God, may you open the doors. May there be favor come upon this ministry. Meet the needs financially, expand. And God, let the glory of God, let the power of your glory be present there.
Yes.
In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Kent, will you share with us for people who are unsure how to follow your ministry and watch you on Sundays as you preach? How can people follow you, see what you're doing, see where you're going, where you're preaching?
Yeah, I'm not tech savvy, so I should have brought somebody in here. I think if you go to regenerationnashville.org, that's the best way, but I do know we're on Roku. You can find us on YouTube. I think we're on Twitter. And I have purposely not traveled much. Just I felt like the Lord said, you know, just kind of stay home. But I am starting to go out some more. So they can find that on our website if I'm going to be somewhere. I've got two dates coming up, one in Omaha, Nebraska, and then one in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, in March 9th. But I think you would enjoy watching our services. We're a good balanced church, and you'll enjoy the word of the Lord. You enjoy the music.
And would you share with us too about a little bit about your book and how people can purchase that as well?
I wrote this book because I think it'll be a great encouragement. I went to hell and back for the ministry that I have today. And I don't like to talk about it because I don't like to talk about myself, but I promise you this book on turning sorrow into joy will give you a lot of hope. You know, my dad died when I was 12 at Christmas time. I got my back broke when I answered the call to preach, got hit by a Greyhound bus that killed the other guy. I went through a horrible divorce. We were broke most of our lives. I buried a son. I pastored and preached for 48 years before I ever saw any success. And so it's a book about how to navigate through difficult times and come out in victory. And you can go to kentchristmas.org to buy my book.
That sounds like you are the perfect person for us to read a book about, of how God, time and time again, will just meet you, right? And keep pushing you towards the place and the destiny that he has for you. And Pastor Kent, we absolutely love today. Thank you so much for just, first of all, being so genuine in your heart and love for God. It's really wonderful to see. You just have such a childlike heart towards the Lord and just dependent on him. It's so clear. We can see that as you share about your love for him. So I so appreciate that about you. And thank you for praying with us and encouraging us with the word of the Lord. We definitely know that God is up to something. And I, for one, am very excited to sit in a church at 2 a.m. and just rest under the weighty presence of God, because there's nothing in this world like it. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world. So I'm already thanking God for that time that I know is coming in the future. And Kent, we love you so much. Tell your wife and family we said hello. And we will see you all right here tomorrow. Mike Thompson will be joining us on the show. So we will see you then. We love you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome. You were a marvelous host today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Kent. Bye-bye, guys. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Join us for an unforgettable journey to the Holy Land, the 2026 Israel Tour with Elijah Streams. Experience powerful worship with Robin Bullock and the 11th Hour Band. And be inspired by Steve and Doreen Schultz, Yvonne and Mina Atiyah, Mike and Lori Sally, and Michael Wilhelm. Steve Swanson will be leading us in music as we walk where Jesus walked. Worship at historic sites and connect deeply with the land and its people. This is more than a tour. It's a spiritual encounter. Spots are limited, so register now at ElijahStreams.com/Israel26. This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com, on Apple, and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.